Wild Tater. I'm Charles Hathaway. There's a concept called the dichotomy, or there's the concept of a dichotomy, whereby you have a choice between two things, and you have to choose between them. Now, there's always choices between two things in our lives. Often, as small a thing as do I take the lemon or the cherry, but then there's as big of decisions as do I keep my job or take this new option that's presented to me. But I'd like to present the idea that with very, very few exceptions, there are no true dichotomies. That every dichotomy is a false dichotomy. Nearly every dichotomy. I say nearly because somebody's going to point out something that's like, oh, well, yeah, that, you know, would be a binary language or whatever. But the fact is that almost always there's a third alternative. And let me tell you what's got me thinking about this. Maybe you've heard the analogy, the situation that suggests that, let's say you're working at a railroad and there's a situation where the train is coming and there's five workers working on the train track, okay? Now, this is a very quiet train, apparently, because they don't hear it coming, they don't see it coming, and they're working on the train track. And if something isn't done, they will be run over. Now, you are close enough to a switch whereby you can change the direction of the rails at the last minute, and it will go onto a different track. The train will veer onto a different track and run over the one guy that's working on that track. Okay, so you got five guys working on one track, one guy working on the other track, and here comes the train. None of them see or hear it coming. Do you flip the switch? And the question is, do you let it kill the five, or do you let it hit the one? And do you flip the switch to hit the one? To which most people statistically say, well, I would flip the switch. And then the change of scenario is given that, well, let's say now the same scenario, there's five guys, or similar scenario, there's five guys working on the track. There's no switch train, apparently, but you, and the train is coming, but you are on a platform above the train tracks, okay? And on this platform, there is also a very large man. And you see the train coming. They don't hear it coming, whatever. And you see that you could push the man, this large man, off onto the train track to stop the train. And it would save the five. To which most people would say, no, I wouldn't push him. And the dichotomy is, do you push the man, or do you let the five be killed? That's the false dichotomy, and I'm just going to say it up front. That is a false dichotomy. That is not all there is going on here. Because in any real life situation, there is no only this or only that. Okay? Now, in the example of the switching train tracks, okay, my first response is, if somebody asks me, which do you do? Do you flip the switch or let it hit the five? I would say, I would do neither. And they would say, well, if you don't flip the switch, it will hit the 5. So are you going to flip the switch or not? And I say, well, that depends. How far am I from the people? And I say, well, I don't know. You're standing, 50 feet off. I shout to them. I shout, get off the track. Okay, well, let's say you're standing 500 yards from them. You're too far away. They can't hear you. All right. How far are they from the switch itself? What do you mean by that? Well, how far are they from, where the train's going to come? You said that it at the last minute it's going to veer off and hit the 1 if I pull the switch. But if I don't pull the switch, then it's going to hit the 5. Well, if they're close to it, like it sounds like, I'm going to flip that switch back and forth ridiculously fast. Clack, 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 clack. Because those people working there, they're going to say, what's up with the track? And they're going to look up and they're going to see the train coming. Guess what? Everybody's saved. So, okay, let's back it off again. Okay, well, maybe they, maybe they can't, they're too far away to be able to hear that either. There's this big space in between. Okay. Well, now we're looking at a scenario where there is some time, okay? Let's say a full 10 seconds from the time that the train passes the switching point until it hits. How far am I from it? 500 yards? Can I get close enough for them to shout and have them hear me in 10 seconds? I can't get far in 10 seconds, but I could probably get 100 yards if somebody's life is at stake. So I might flip the switch to whichever side is most likely to hear me, and then go running, shouting, there is it, the train is coming, hey! Maybe finding something to bang and point, bang pots, whatever's near, to get their attention, okay? Now, this kind of response, people will usually say, no, but I mean, just theoretically, which would you choose? There is no theoretical situation that could play out in reality that is no longer theoretical. I mean, that is still theoretical. What I mean by that is, if this is only a theoretical situation and there is nothing, no other elements in play, there is no space between this me and them, there is no whatever, this is all theoretical, then I don't have to make the choice, do I? I do not have to. I would say neither. Neither one dies. Because this is theoretical. And heck, if we're going to get theoretical, I'm going to theoretically, mentally make that train stop. Or go the other way. Okay? Even if the train is, that situation, okay, I'm in a switchboard miles away, but I'm looking at it through this video, they're 500 yards away from the switching point, so I mean, you've got to choose now because you can't shout anything. Do any of them have a phone? Remember, they're far enough away, you've got about 10 seconds. If a phone rings, it might be enough time. And if you say, the train is coming, and they answer, after 8 seconds, they can look in time to say, guys, look out, and they jump out of the way. Okay? Let's say they don't. Well, maybe I can switch the train just as it goes under so that it derails the train and it goes somewhere in the middle between the two. In the situation of the platform overhead where I could push the guy off or I could watch it hit the 5, I could jump off. I'm not a very big guy, but I do that before pushing anybody else off. And if I'm on this platform, chances are there's something else up there that could be thrown down. If I suddenly threw a big box of bricks that happens to be there down on the train track, that's going to do something. Whether it stops the train or what. Now, I should add, I don't care how big you are. You could be a 1,000-pound person. If the train is coming fast enough to wipe out 5 guys without them knowing it, it's coming and it's that quiet or whatever, but it's that big and fast of a train that it could do that, well, then one guy's not going to slow the train at all. You'd have to have the whole platform come down in order to even have a chance of derailing it. And can you imagine if you pushed him off, he got crushed and then the five got crushed? You just killed a person absolutely unnecessarily. I mean, we have to play this both ways. Because not only do I actually have a lot more choices than you claim, but there are a lot more possible outcomes than you claim. It may kill everybody anyway. It may be that you knock the train off the track and it hits neither the five nor the one, but it crashes into a building and kills 25 people. You know, we don't know the full situation. If you want to lay it out to me with all the scenarios in place, I'm still going to have a third answer. Because no matter what you say, it is not a dichotomy. And the thing is they always ask these situations about the about ethical decisions, thinking that we're being pinned into a situation. And it's true that they can be very difficult, painful, dangerous, risky decisions. We're all faced with dangerous, risky decisions at some time in our lives. And we usually make decisions based on our most ethical sense at the time. Be that, you know, I've got to do this, I just don't have a choice, or, you know, the panic is set in, you know, whatever it is that's influencing that, this is still only a false dichotomy. Every dichotomy is a false dichotomy. And to call it otherwise is not fair. In the other ethical scenario, which I will give here, you're with some civilians in a war zone who are being hunted by an army, and you get the group and you hide in a basement. Maybe you've heard this one. I believe the last episode of MASH, the TV show, portrayed this situation. And so you're hiding down there, and you tell everybody you can't make a sound. If any sound, or they tell you, say you're in this civilian group, I mean, if you make any sound, they could hear us and they will kill us all. We'll all die. And you have your baby with you. Well, this baby has a cold and could cough. Or maybe the baby is frightened because of all the noises or whatever and is crying. And the question is, do you put your hands over the baby's face at the risk of killing the baby in order to save the group? To which I respond, no, I don't do that. To which they would say, then everybody's going to die, including you and your baby. I would say, I'm not going to choose that either. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go with a third alternative, or a fourth, or fifth, or sixth. My first thought is I take the baby and I get out of that scenario as fast as possible, leave the group behind and get out of the house. Is it possible that the army will see me come out and then check the house for others and we all die anyway? Yeah, that's possible. But that puts the choice into their hands, puts the responsibility in their hands. And I have made my best ethical decision, place myself and my baby in higher danger than the group in order to attempt to save the group. It's still possible that they'll just find you all anyway, whether you've killed your baby or kept your baby alive or whatever, whether there was no baby at all, maybe they would have found you. In which case, I don't want to be one who's facing my maker right after killing my baby, even if it is quote unquote justified. I'm sorry. But if you're giving me any choice in the matter, by which I mean I still have working limbs, body, and consciousness, because if I'm unconscious, I obviously don't have any choice in the scenario. But if I'm conscious and I have a working body, I'm going to use it. And I'm going to make choices based on what I think would be best to do. Now, could I be in panic mode and freaking out? Oh, sure. Sure. Absolutely. In that kind of state, I'm not going to be of a mental mindset to even be able to make good decisions. But that's one of the reasons I think about these things, is so that if ever I'm in a situation where I have to make a seeming dichotomous decision that is either life-threatening or you know, life-altering in some way, then I can recognize it's not just the two. You're not just stuck between a rock and a hard place. You have other choices. They might all seem worse than the two, but in searching for those different choices, you may find something else, even if it's only an opportunity to die nobly, to save other people, or perhaps to make one last testimony, or serve one last time in some way. So, what does that have to do with gardening? What does that have to do with ecosystems? Well, you could say nothing, but I don't think so. Actually, I think it has a great deal to do with it. Because there's the question, should I go organic or should I use chemical fertilizers? Well, first off, why do you want to go organic and why do you want to use organic fertilizers? Why are you doing it? Because if you find that out, you may find you neither have to, you know, because people are going to be faced with the decisions, do I do anything for my plants or do I spray on them or put, you know, insecticide on them? Well, that's one way to look at it. Or you could say, what could I add to this system that would provide the same benefit as the sprays would provide, but might be a more permanent solution or a more sustainable choice? Remember, there's always a third alternative. If you're faced with a tough decision that where neither choice seems to be a good one, chances are you just haven't discovered the third choice yet. And if you find a third choice and it's just as bad, then you need to find the fourth choice. And if that's just as bad, the fifth, and so forth. The point is, the solution is never one or the other. It's always one or the other, or the other, or the other, or the other. And it's true that in a quick rush decision moment where you have 5 seconds to decide, or I don't know, let's say your animal is tromping on another animal or your child, or you got to make a split second decision. You happen to be holding your gun. Are you going to shoot your horse? Are you going to, there's going to, in a split second kind of a decision situation, you're not likely to act in the most beneficial way. However, if you think about these kinds of things with third alternative mindset, meaning that, okay, it seems like these are the only two options, but there must be something else I can do. If you get used to doing that, you may get into a habit of seeing the third options quickly. And in a 5 seconds to act scenario, that may be enough to come up with a good third alternative that will do better than either of the first two alternatives. So with that, I'm Charles Hathaway. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Wild Tater.